keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso, dope. So no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones, bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you all for tuning in. And I'm very happy to be back with you. Still alive and relatively well here in the southwesterly United States. And hoping to bring you a show that's jam-packed full of information and action and maybe a little humor, too. I don't know. I guess we'll see. all kinds of things to talk about tonight. Of course, the regular controversy with politics and foreign policy. And who knows? Maybe we'll get into some good positive news tonight. But first off, let me get through some of these little things that we got to talk about. If anyone wants to join the call tonight, we are going to be taking callers. We haven't taken callers the last few shows. For various reasons, but tonight we will be taking calls at 718-717-8296. Now make sure that if you do call in, though, that you keep your phone on mute and that you keep your radio turned off behind you or your computer, whatever it is you're listening to us on. Otherwise, we'll have to drop the call because then we'll hear ourselves talking and it'll make a huge mess with the audio. Anyway, we'll identify you by your call-in zip code or area code, sorry. And then we'll allow you to have the floor, and you can talk, whether it's about what we're talking about or what you want to talk about, or if we forget to talk about something, remind us, by all means. We're here on UCY.TV. You can also catch us on the antimedia.org/radio, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern, here on UCY exclusively. And, you know, make sure you catch us as often as you can, because we're talking about this information that is really dangerous information. It's kind of privileged information, and who knows, you know, it may not be that much longer that we're able to put this stuff out over the airwaves. If you miss our show, you can catch us on YouTube, UCY-TV YouTube channel, and you could catch all of our old shows there. So, you know, just stay up to date, because sometimes we talk about, you know, we're talking about the same subject for like three shows in a row, so you may be a little bit out of the loop if you missed the show before or the show before that. So it is important to stay and keep up with all the shows that are going on. Also, I want to give a quick shout-out to Ponder and Excel for providing us our intro and outro music for free. Anyone wanting to find their music, go to Bandcamp and type in Ponderoso, and you'll find them, and it's downloadable for free. You can donate to them if you want to. That being said, I'd like to introduce my long-time co-host, D.B. Schwartz. What's up, D.B.?
Hey, Nick. Not too much, man. Just actually spent a lot of the day, besides working and doing things like that, trying to decipher this whole Trump thing and then try to figure out why people were so supportive of him and kind of backtrack people that are supporting him. And there's a lot of people I know, of course, they're all over 50 and they're, you know, they're all white, dude. And it's kind of like the last gasp of an old dying system, and what we make of that is up to us, really. I mean, if the youth vote energizes and they bring in the least evil, which to me is Bernie Sanders. I don't consider the guy evil, but he is just another career politician, and he can only be as effectual as the system itself. I mean, if we allow somebody like Trump to get in, I mean, you're going to see the internet close. You're going to see the military get thrown into a major war, and I think that's kind of what he is. He's sort of that kind of plant.
Yeah, I mean that's a very interesting, prospect. And you know where I stand on this whole thing. I've been calling it for Marco Rubio since day one. And we talked about this long before the first debate started, and we talked about how Marco Rubio was going to look like a moderate somehow, even though he's a complete insane war hawk, and he literally is probably the most hawkish candidate out there. And he's probably the one that would, besides Hillary Clinton, be the one to really provoke something with Russia. And sure enough, doesn't Marco Rubio look like a moderate right now?
Yeah, but I mean, and the crazy thing is the guy never actually shows up for any votes. So he really doesn't even do the job he's pretending to do. I mean, yeah, we're looking at literally an entire field of absolutely insane options for people that are supposed to be leading the most powerful military in the world. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, man, and as you say, with all this stuff Trump's saying lately, it really does make Bernie Sanders look kind of like a good option. Unfortunately, with all this terrorism talk and all that, Hillary Clinton is going to rise in the polls, and Bernie Sanders is probably going to get buried under, whether it be by the media or by the manipulation that's going on right now with all this hawkish talk and, closing down the borders and sealing off Muslims and all this crap. There was a quote last show that I was trying to find, and I couldn't locate it, but I've found it and I've dug it up to bring up this show. There's a Nazi by the name of Hermann Göring, and he was tried during the Nuremberg war crime trials, and I believe he was eventually hung for his crimes with the Nazis. But here's what he had to say, and I quote, "All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country." And so this is basically, I mean, if you were to literally put a platform out there and say, what is Donald Trump's political platform? What does he plan to do? Well, he doesn't really have any solid policies, but this is his platform right here. It's very Nazi-like. It's trying to find a scapegoat, and obviously he's chosen Muslims. He kicked off his campaign by trying to go after Mexicans, and I think there was a pretty good backlash on that, but Muslims are a small minority in this country, and they can easily have their rights trampled over, and we're starting to see it. All this rhetoric is already starting to have an effect. There's Muslim people are already being attacked, man. Like it's really, really sad to see it. But there was a sixth grade Muslim girl in New York that was attacked by her classmates who called her ISIS. And this story just came out today. I believe it happened a couple of days ago, but I'm reading off of trueactivist.com by John Vibes. And I mean, they had to call the cops, and the cops got involved, and this little girl got beat up because of this rhetoric, dude. And so, at first we took Trump as a joke, and we all thought it was just going to be a long haircut day, and it was going to be short and over with. But it stuck, man, and it just goes to show kind of the sentiment in this country. There, as you mentioned at the beginning, man, there's a bunch of older white folks, and they're fearful, and rightfully so, man, because look at the damn economy. The economy is not actually recovered. They keep telling us the economy recovered. It hasn't, and that's why people are fearful. That's why people are uncertain. And so when someone like Trump comes out, and instead of taking, instead of actually looking at the real problems, I mean, I haven't heard Trump talk about the Federal Reserve once. Have you? But instead, he gives up some superficial scapegoat and says, you know what? It's because of the Mexicans, and that's why our economy is messed up. And then the Muslims is why you guys don't feel safe. vote for me. I mean, this is, you know, this is how it is. And it's really sad to see, but there's a lot of fearful people out there that are uninformed that are kind of just buying right into this stuff, dude. And you know, there's no denying it. It's happening, you know. And so how do we stop it? That's the question.
More government cannot fix this, and that's what I keep telling people. It's got to be fixed organically. There's got to be a redistribution of wealth, but not at gunpoint. It's got to be a, you know, we've got to expand opportunity, expand education, and not just these, you know, college education. People need to be free to get funding for any kind of upper education, be it technical or whatsoever. I mean, there's ways we can fix the whole world starting with this country.
Exactly, man, and I agree with you. And so on the point I was making there, I got a where did I put that link? There was a poll that came out today. Who did I send it to? Hold on, it's going to take me a second to find it. Anyway, there was a poll that came out today that basically showed that for the first time ever, the middle class of the United States is no longer the majority. And so this is the exact reason why Trump is resonating with people, is because as much as we've been told that the economy is fixed, the economy is this, the economy is that, it hasn't been. You know, yeah, unemployment has gone down, but the amount that people are making is petty. It's petty. You know, I saw an article today that said that half of the people that are renting homes right now are over 40 years old. You know, and so this is a major turnaround from back in the day when people used to be 30 years old and owning their own homes and stuff like that. Yeah, there still are, but it's not the majority like it used to be, man. And so I got this Pew Research Center poll up here now, and I just want to read a little bit from it, because this is why, and DB, this goes right back to your point, man. The whole reason why there's people that are willing to fall into this fascist trap, I mean, we can go back and look at the Weimar Republic. We can go look back at pre-World War II Germany and say, well, hey, I wonder why all these Germans fell for the Nazi bullshit. Well, look at their economy, you know what I'm saying? And this is exactly what this Pew Research poll is kind of showing here. So I'm going to read a few excerpts from this, and then we're going to take one of our callers that we have on the line. After more than four decades as serving as the nation's economic majority, the American middle class is now matched in number by those in the economic tiers above and below it. In early 2015, 120.8 million adults were in the middle class range, compared to 121.3 million in lower and upper income. A demographic shift that could signal a tipping point, according to new Pew Research Center analysis of government data. And so they're saying in one sense it's representing economic progress. I really can't see that. I'm looking at the chart here, and back in 1970, the middle class generated 62% of the U.S.'s income, and the upper class generated 29% of the United States' income, and the lower class generated 10%. Fast forward to 2014, the middle class is now generating 43%. That's down from 62%. The upper class is generating 49%. That's up from 29%. And the lower class is down to 9%, which is only down from 10%. So the extremely poor have remained extremely poor, but the middle class is on an exponential, in a downwardly exponential curve towards the lower class, man. And so, and you know, this is something we've mentioned over and over again about how the middle class is literally kind of disappearing, right? And so now the poll numbers are there to show it. I mean, it's not even a poll. It's a analysis of government data, you know. And so this is like census data, this is IRS data, and that kind of thing. And so, you know, this is why people are so afraid. You know, they're looking for an answer. And Trump comes along, and even though the shit that he's saying makes absolutely no sense, because the chances of you getting killed by an Islamic terrorist
are slim to none. In fact, you're 58 times more likely to be killed by a cop in the United States than by a terrorist, okay? So all of this anti-Muslim rhetoric from Trump is total bullshit. It's all bogus, you know? So first, let's get that out of the way. His other, you know, when it comes to economics, he likes to blame everything on Mexico and he blame everything on China. You know, that's really easy to do and easy to say when, you know, that's just not the case, you know, and the economics are much more complicated than saying, oh, Mexico took our jobs and China's being smarter than us. There's a lot of factors that go into this. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the Federal Reserve is something that Trump will not touch. You know, and if we want to talk about the main driver of inequality, the main driver of destroying the middle class, then we have to talk about the Federal Reserve. We have to talk about the bailouts. You know, we have to talk about QE. We have to talk about the interest rates. We have to talk about the banking system. You know, these are all things that Trump in his personal life benefit from. You know what I'm saying? So he's not going to go after this stuff. And so all of this stuff that Trump is saying is all superficial, but he's tapping into a legitimate anger and a legitimate uncertainty that Americans have because our economy is just not what it used to be. You know,
I mean, when did we get to a point where the banks have to exist but refugees can't? I mean, how did we ever get to that, you know, place in history where people are actually siding with their oppressors? We live inside of the Stockholm syndrome.
So true, man. It is so true. And I don't know, man. This is just—it's just a crazy, crazy times, dude. And as you mentioned, man, if we were able to fix the economy legitimately, a lot of these societal issues would kind of just melt away, you know, including racism and classism and inequality, and all that stuff would just start going away on their own, you know. But the worse the economy gets, the worse that these symptoms of a flawed society are going to keep boiling up to the top. And that's exactly why you've seen so many mass shootings going on. This is exactly why you see cops killing black people left and right. This is why you see racial tensions at the highest point they've been in, who knows, you know, in decades. You know, it's because the economy has not been fixed, man. And it's not going to be fixed with all this superficial nonsense that people keep saying. You know, and Trump hasn't really offered any valid policy solutions to the real underlying issues of the economy, other than just throwing out incendiary rhetoric against minorities. That seems to be his only solution. You know what I'm saying? And so, it's really sad to see so many people in the country kind of jumping to this guy's side here. And I even see it on the anti-media Facebook page. You know, we've been constantly putting out articles in opposition to Trump's rhetoric because we believe in the First Amendment, freedom of speech. You know, the anti-media stands for religious freedom, even though I'm not religious myself, and I think most of our journalists aren't really religious, but we stand up for religious freedom, you know what I'm saying? Because that's a fundamental right in any kind of free society.
But most people are spiritual, and they understand, you know, if there's a group of people that get together for their beliefs, that's totally fine, but we need to work – you know, I posted something today earlier about it's really a war on radicalization is what we're looking at here. We're looking at fighting people that believe their beliefs and their wants, wills, and desires become our physical reality and we die because of it. That's what we need to fight.
Yeah, man, and the radicalization is happening across the board, you know what I mean, on all sides of this thing. And it's going on with Christians and – with Muslims and with, you know, racial groups and all kinds of different socioeconomic situations. It's happening. And again, kind of boils back down to economics, economy, and, you know, these kind of things that are exacerbating these problems. Before I get any more into this Pew Research thing, because there is a lot of relevant information in there, I want to go to one of our callers here from 203 area code. How's it going? You're on the anti-media. Do you want to chime in on this conversation? Oh, 203 dropped. You don't got to be nervous when you're calling in. It's no big deal. We're just having a little conversation here. If you guys want to talk, feel free to talk. Just make sure that when you do call in to mute your mic and to mute your radio behind you, and we'll be perfectly fine. But yeah, man, I mean, this is just – it's – It just goes to show that the inequality that's building here, man, and no one can deny that we're living in a society where the rich are getting massively richer and the poor are kind of staying poor and the middle class is just losing it all. You know what I'm saying? And when the middle class loses it, man, that's when you start seeing some very big shifts, you know, and that's why it's, you know, that's why it is so important, I think, to oppose the shit that Trump is saying, is because we're in a very volatile time now, and it wouldn't take much to push us over that edge where we truly do become fully a fully fascist country. We've got the NSA right now, we've got the Empire, we've got all these wars and shit, but you and me are still able to talk over here, over the internet. People aren't being put into internment camps yet.
Because talk's not leading to action yet, Nick. I think we haven't hit that critical mass yet. There's still people going to work and more or less surviving and being able to keep a roof over their heads and keep fed on GMO foods and keep watching the NFL. And the bread and circus works only so long as it's, you know, profitable and it costs less money than overt fascism, which is what most of the rest of the world has to revert to because they don't have our tech. And I don't think people understand that. You know, we can sit here and talk all day. You can sign a million petitions. You can fund people on the internet. But unless people take to the streets, block commerce, and start taking money out of the pockets of the oligarchs, they could care less. It's actually cheaper for them to run this shell game that, of what they're doing right now. But, you know, it's going to hit ahead, Nick. I mean, eventually, here's the thing. If you have 100 million unemployed Americans in the U.S. right now, you have a massive population of people working on welfare. What's going to happen when the government says we're broke and food riots begin and then those camps start filling up with people that simply were just out on the street to get fed because no one farms, no one grows food? This is the kind of endemic problem we're going to have. This is what they're gearing up for, man. That's why they want guns gone, and that's why they're militarizing the police. Because this game of printing money and forcing the rest of the world to use it as the standard, it couldn't last forever. Bretton Woods could not last much longer than it already has.
It can't, and it can't, because you know, the IMF just announced last week that the Chinese yuan is considered one of the world's reserve currencies.
It's called the renminbi, Nick, and it is. It's essentially taking the dollar and the yuan and leveraging both to create a new world global currency. Now, does anybody in the honestly think that any nation state anywhere could stand up to the U.S. and China deciding to take you away? That's what we're looking at here, and that's why Russia is very important. I really honestly think even if he is part of the plan, Putin went off his rocker and threw a fucking wrench into it.
Very, you know, very interesting things going on with Russia right now. And we're going to get a little bit into that, too.
Hello?
You know, it's
no,
very,
hello.
It's
hello.
Very interesting what's going on. Hey, how's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio. Caller from 347. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, all right. Nah, I didn't even know this was a live conversation. Listen, man, I agree with everything that's going on right now, man. President Obama, he's not for the United States. I don't know. I feel that. He against. I'm black. I'm African American. You know, and I don't care about Obama. He's not even all the way black anyway, man. And I feel that he against the United States. He against us. He against America. He bringing in everybody. I don't care about the refugees and all that shit. But everything else that been going on before that, he fucking up America. America is destroyed. It's ruined. It's done.
It's fundamentally right. Changed.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
You bring a good point up, but I don't think it started with Obama. I think it's been going on for, you know.
No, it ain't start with Obama. Nah, you right, it didn't. It started with fucking George Washington.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It started from there. It started from the first president.
Yeah.
We got underground, we got secret societies, we got all this shit going on. That, man,
if you look
this world
back,
is coming to an end, it's coming to an end fast.
You know, as you mentioned with George Washington, if you look back at George Washington, you know, he was the first president after the American Revolution, and the revolution was fought for several reasons. One of them was taxation by the British Crown and that kind of thing, and of course there's also...
He wasn't the first president. If you're a history buff like me, you know we had 8 1-year presidents before his first 4-year term.
Exactly.
But, you know, even in his first term, in George Washington's first term, he led the whiskey rebellion, you know, against the whiskey distillers that were trying to just distill whiskey without being taxed on it. And they waged war on American soil, and they imprisoned a bunch of people, killed people. And John Adams, the next president, went in, and when he got elected, he kind of pardoned them all. But you're right. I mean, the tyranny has been around since the dawn of the Constitution. And I've always said this, you know, constitutions, you know, in many ways, most times they are a slight, slightly positive, and they increase.
Constitution of the First Amendment, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Constitution is normally like a slightly positive thing, but they're always flawed documents, you know, and states and governments are always like flawed, you know, organizations.
No, I didn't call to talk about a lot of it. Only thing I call to talk about is the fact that this world is coming to the end, and it's coming to an end fast. Everybody's fucking shit up, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse. This race for the presidency is a joke.
I agree with you on that, man.
The race for the presidency is a joke. Nobody even paying attention to this shit that's going on. Nobody even really care. People can only name about like four people that's running. Nobody even know who's running right now. Like, for real. Nobody's paying attention to none of this shit that's going on. And I really think it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end fast. It's about to crash. And this world is done. Like, it's going to cease to exist as we know it. Like, it's never going to be the same. It's going to be Chinese, Russians, everybody. They coming over here, and it's coming fast. Everybody better get ready. Everybody, they trying to have this gun control going on. They want to eliminate people from having weapons to protect themselves. And when everything go down and everybody start coming over here, Chinese, Russians, this, that, whatever, they're going to come. And when they come and nobody got weapons to protect themselves, being to everybody, they doing this gun buyback program, we all fuck.
Great points, man. I think you make some really good points because, you know.
My bad for cursing, too. I don't know if you allow this shit on your show.
It's all good, man. We only discourage the F word on here.
My bad.
You know, we definitely are heading in a really bad trajectory. And I think the only answer right now, as my co-host was mentioning a little earlier, is getting people more involved in like counter economics, man, getting people to grow their own food and to be more self-reliant. Cause if we continue down this path of more or less relying on Walmart and Amazon and all these huge ass companies that are very much embedded with the state,
can't do that. What we got to do is get back to planting and farming and growing our own crops and doing everything, because pretty soon it's going to be a shortage, like with the food, with all this. It's coming to an end. And that's what people need to realize. They need to wake up and realize it's going to come to an end real fast. And it's either more. No, I left my light over here. But you got to get the mark of the beast, or you got to get something, a chip or something. I'm not getting none of that. No kind of implant, no nothing. I ain't getting none of that.
I'm sure.
So if I don't got no cash on hand, or if I don't got somebody else got a chip and they go get some food, I'm robbing them.
I'm sure you saw the fights on Black Friday where the people were fighting over these stupid electronics and stuff.
Man, they do that shit all the time. I hate that shit. It makes black people look bad too.
You know, and
not even black people. It's black people, white people. It's a bunch of different reasons. Everybody.
All kinds of people.
It makes homo sapiens period just look stupid. Like, what the fuck, man? You just getting a good deal.
Yeah,
and Black Friday ain't even the best deals anyway.
You know, and if you look at that and the fact that people are fighting over dumb stuff like that, you know, and then as you mentioned, when you start running out of food and start wondering, you know, all right, where's the food going to come from? Think about how crazy people will get over food when they get like that over TVs and toasters and shit like that. So that's something that
when you see everybody getting crazy just because they got a good deal on the flat screen. Now imagine when this food shortage. It's barely enough for. Imagine how that's gonna be. Everybody fight. You see how they be fighting, killing. Damn, they kill each other. They get trampled, fucked up, all that. Oh my bad. I don't know you said the F word.
Yeah, exactly, man. And you know, back to this whole Trump topic. And hey, thanks for calling in, man. We're gonna have to keep moving on because I got some other topics to talk about. But,
nah, I'm gonna let you go.
Cool, man. Well, feel free to call back in on Monday. We're here Monday and Wednesday.
All right. I got the number now, so I'm definitely going to hit you up when I hear some good topics I'm interested in.
Awesome.
And thank you for dropping the truth, man, because a lot of people won't touch what you just said.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people scared. Yeah, I don't care about the government, police, none of this shit. I really don't. If you go come get me, like.
I don't want to be in a world where he wins. So, you know, if I need to go out with a bullet, that's quicker than starving.
So, my thing is, man, this is supposed to be the land of the free. I told you, I'm black, African American, whatever y'all want to call it. That's what I am. Listen, we never free. We was never free. It was never nothing like a slave system going on right now, especially with the prisons and all this. Everything's still going on, and it's just getting worse. Not even just for us, it's getting worse for everybody. It's about to be, what you call that? When the government come through, they're about to shut shit down.
Martial law?
Have curfew. Martial law. Martial law about to be in full effect, and people don't really realize this. Obama should have got impeached a long time ago.
All these presidents need to be impeached, man.
A lot of them. Yeah.
They're all waging illegal wars overseas, and
from the first Bush, and before them. Man, I mean, but I wasn't born back then. But I'm talking about like from the first Bush, Clinton, the next Bush, the other Bush, the second, his son, he should have never even been in the office at all.
Yeah,
at all. I don't know how they went through, and that's when they realized that Americans just stupid and they're not paying attention.
I'm already ready
to figure that they could go. Obama got his magic pen, sign off on whatever he wants. Like, it's already a wrap. Whatever they decide that they want to do, they're going to do it. Don't even have to go through Congress. Nothing matter no more. The Constitution, you might as well burn it and rip it up. Like, it don't even exist. It's here, but it don't exist.
Yeah, I'm ready to impeach the next president already, and they're not even elected yet. You know what I mean?
And they're not even elected. I don't even think the next president is going to be elected. Because it's a joke.
This is worse than
one of these reality these reality TV shows. The election, the presidential election is worse than that.
Well, the National Defense Authorization Act 16, which they're writing right now, is going to have a War Power Act that's going to suspend all elections on all levels. So what does that tell you is going to happen when we actually officially do declare war?
You said what? It's going to suspend what?
They're going to suspend elections at every level, even local, when war is declared.
Oh, yeah. Look, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Obama probably going to get a third term. Nobody even want to vote for, like, a lot of these people that's here right now. Only people that a lot of people even know is Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Other than that, Jeb Bush, and they got another black guy, so a lot of black people trying to see what he about, but none of that matters. Like, they really don't. This is a big joke. It's a joke. So if anything, Obama probably he gonna fuck around and stay in office. I'm not bad with that word. I'm sorry, but he gonna mess around and stay in office because all this is a joke. You probably go to war before the voting and everything is counted or whatever. You probably go to war before that, and nobody gonna pay attention to the votes and the. None of that presidential elections is just going to be like, we got a bigger problem, bigger issue to face.
Yep. When we get hit by the next attacks and they're going to be in multiple cities, they're just going to pull
heard,
selective
you ever heard
service.
About the, you ever heard about the Russian weapon? It's called the Glocka or something like, no, not the Glocka, that's something else. But the Russians, they got a weapon. It's not a nuke. It's not nothing like that. It's a big-ass EMP. They explode the EMP about 20-40 miles before it hit the like say they shoot a missile over here before it hit the ground 20 miles in the air it exploded, but it's not a missile, it's an EMP, and it's gonna wipe out everything. Now imagine America, United States, no power, and it can't be turned back on. It's irreversible. Imagine that. Everybody depend on, nobody know how to survive without electric. You even got kids today that everybody focus on the electronics and everything, like iPads. Nobody go outside to play football. None of that no more. It's warm outside right now. It's wintertime. It's warm. Nobody going to the park. Nobody doing nothing. Now imagine a big-ass EMP come and hit everything. Lights out everywhere. Everywhere. Hospitals, fire departments, everything, everywhere. No way to radio contact anybody or anyone.
Yeah, man, it's a scary prospect. And it goes back to this idea of us relying on these highly centralized kind of institutions. Like,
what we need to do is start sticking together. I'm saying, look, you know, there's a bunch of criminals out here, too. But I'm just saying, we all need to stick together. Stop giving in your guns. Because this world is going to come to an end. It's going to be martial law. The less people that can resist, the better it is for the government or whoever trying to take over. So everybody just needs to get ready and get armed up and stick together. That's it.
Yeah,
man. Not, I mean, they planning on wiping out a couple, like some millions. They say this world is overpopulated anyway. They plan on wiping out a lot of people.
Yep, that's what the war is going to be about. I mean, your next war is going to cut the population in half, yeah. At least.
That's what they've done. They always use war to try to eliminate it. But at the end of the day, war, it gets settled. All right, you know what? Too many died on this side, too many died on that side. All right, I'm going to just give you what you want, whatever. But I know you got all the calls.
Uncle Obama's dirty dead grandma.
Huh?
Sorry, so we had a troll caller calling in. Go ahead.
All right. Nah, but I know you probably got all the calls and coming in. You got to talk to other people. Yo, just let me know your radio station because I want to tone in. I just saw this on Facebook. I decided to call.
Yeah, man. We're on UCY.TV every, you know, actually Monday through Friday. DB and I are on Monday and Wednesday, but we're on Monday through Friday at the same time. And it's UCY.TV, and you can catch us there or on the antimedia.org/radio. And you can tune in there. You can call back in. But, yeah, man, thanks for calling in. Great call. We're going to have to move on to some other topics and a few other callers, but we look forward to hearing from you again, man. Peace. So, man, he brought up a bunch of stuff there, and I think he brought up some valid points because I think we've kind of shifted away from a lot of the stuff we used to talk about here, and DB, you and I would always talk about decentralizing and going with these counter-economic ideas. I don't know if there's going to be an EMP attack or anything, but even just something like a natural disaster, a solar flare can knock out the power grid and stuff, and that's why it is so important to keep, you know, decentralization at our core of our activism and our economics. And, you know, as we mentioned with, you know, Walmart and Amazon and all these huge companies and relying on those sort of things for our daily needs, it's not a good idea, you know, because when we talk about semi-monopolistic industries, well, then that gives those industries a lot of leverage, you know. And as we all know, these industries are deeply embedded with the government, and they work hand in hand many times on projects and doing, you know, whatever it is they do. Walmart has a huge lobby, and they infiltrate local governments all the time. I know it happened around here. They get sweetheart deals, tax breaks, and that kind of thing. You know, they all work together. So I think keeping decentralization in mind is a good thing. Community economics, farmers markets, you know, getting to know people that know how to do things and make things and trade things and barter things like that. Really good.
Well, it's coming regardless. Like what he was saying was right. It's not the end of the world, but the end of the world as we know it, man. Because, you know, we've been, especially in America here, been propped up on the backs of literally the rest of the world's working class, making them globally poor. And when Obama was talking about fundamental change, what he really was saying was everything that's going on, everything that our umpire has beget to the rest of the world is about to come home to roost, and we're going to let it happen. We're going to let it happen because you're slaves and you've never been anything but that to us. And we're talking about the ruling class. This is higher than the elites. This is the families that have the banks that own all the money. So whatever they say goes unless we go to another system. And it's getting to the point where out of necessity, we're going to have to come to another system. The problem is, like he was saying, there's children today that have never not had a smartphone, have been on an iPad since they're like 1 year old. What's going to happen to those people when the lights go out? Because that is part of the package deal. When we go to World War III, there will be EMP bombs. So we can either have the Star Trek future or the Star Wars future. It's really up to us.
Yeah, man, and you know, as apocalyptic as it sounds, you know, with the geopolitical events going on right now, focusing back towards Syria, and you know, the recent NATO shoot down of the Russian jet. You got Turkey now that have more or less kind of done a small invasion of Iraq without permission. I mean, this kind of stuff is going right under the radar. The mainstream media is not reporting on it. But Turkey is really acting as our agitator over in that region, with, of course, the tandem with Turkey and Israel and Saudi Arabia all working to oust the Syrian government and Bashar al-Assad. And we all know that Russia is a major, major ally of Assad, and they will do whatever it takes to keep him in power, because if they lose him, they lose their monopoly on the natural resource supply to Europe. China, for the time being, is also allied with Syria and Iran and those countries, and Russia as well. And so, you know, we're talking about some major, major players, and the things that are going on right now are not looking like they're going to be de-escalated anytime soon. So, unfortunately, looking at history and stuff, World War III is a realistic possibility, man, and I hate to say it, but it really is, you know, and this is something that we have to really try to oppose. But unfortunately, in America, people are not as worried about stopping World War III as they are about stopping Muslims from coming into the country, which, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is the last thing we need to be worrying about, because you are 58 times more likely to be killed by a cop than you are by a Muslim terrorist. And so, you know, people are focused on the wrong thing, and you know, you got this media frenzy surrounding Trump, and you know, all we can do is try to take down his arguments and take down his talking points as much as we can, because like we mentioned earlier in the show, they're all based on fallacies and superficial reactionary thinking. None of it really addresses the true economic issues that we're facing as a country, and the true reason why people are so afraid and so scared of their neighbors and scared of Muslims and scared of minorities and think that Mexicans are taking their jobs. And, you know, all this stuff boils back down to economics, you know, and the fear, the fearfulness. And, you know, as soon as someone provides a scapegoat, and that's exactly what Trump's been doing, you know, it's so easy for people to coalesce around those ideas, you know. And I don't think that the average Trump supporter isn't that much dumber than the rest of the population. That there has been some analysis that showed that they have a lower vocabulary than the average American, but I don't think they're that much dumber. They're just falling for this manipulation, and you know, anybody can be manipulated. We've all been manipulated before, and so you can't fault them 100%. But I think that we need to take on some major, major counter-economic ideas to create, you know, a good, prospering economy that's outside of the realm of government and corporate, in order to alleviate a lot of these problems. I want to go to our next caller here on the line. You've been patiently waiting, from the 718 area code. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio. What do you want to talk about? Okay, 718. If you still decide you want to talk, feel free to chime in. I'm going to leave you on the call for another minute before I drop you. If you do want to tune in off the call, go to ucy.tv on the internet. You can go on your smartphone or either way. But yeah, man, I mean, so much going on. I do want to get into some of this geopolitics stuff, because I wrote an article today. I've been dealing with this major case of writer's block for the past 2 months, but I think I finally broke through a little bit today. I wrote an article called ISIS Showcases Massive Arsenal of American-Made Weapons in New Video. This can be seen on the antimedia.org. It's our top story of the day. But basically, ISIS just released another propaganda video, which they do on a relatively regular basis. But this time, they were parading tanks down the streets, and Humvees and artillery pieces, and they were just kind of showing off all the big weapons they got. And it's all recent footage. But you know, one of the things that you can't help but notice as these Humvees and tanks drive by is that this is all American-made stuff, right? This is all American-made weapons, and it's you know, you gotta start to wonder, like, well, how in the hell did ISIS get all this stuff? And that's what my article is really about. So the first and most obvious way that it happened was in ISIS's capturing of Mosul. And I'm sure most people are aware of this. This is when ISIS really made it onto the scene with the mainstream media. And it was like, oh my God, there's a terror group that just took one of the biggest cities in Iraq. And come to find out later on, in that one battle, they captured 2,300 Humvees. 2,300 American-made Humvees. And, you know, I'm sure everyone knows Humvees are not cheap. They're pretty damn expensive. And I would say they're at least about 100 grand each. So we're looking at, I don't know, $2.3 billion worth of Humvees captured in one battle. Not only that, but they captured tanks and an unknown amount of machine guns and rifles. They captured the central bank, of which was in Mosul. They captured a bunch of gold, all kinds of stuff. And they kind of just rolled right over the Iraqi army, which was just kind of just – they were – the Iraqi army outnumbered them by like tenfold or even higher than that. I think ISIS captured Mosul with only 10,000 people. And the Iraqi troops kind of left all that equipment behind. And so that's how they got a lot of it. but also, looking back a little further, we find out that before ISIS really became ISIS, they were actually a key piece to U.S. geopolitical policy. And ISIS, before it went rogue and became this massive kind of anti-Western terror group, they were being funded by proxy from the U.S. and armed via our allies in Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, just to name a few, with the intention of overthrowing the Syrian government. And this dates back to like 2011 during the Arab Spring and all that stuff going on over there. And they were trying to get rid of Assad for a long time. And we'll get into the reasons why in a few minutes here. But so that's another route that was taken in which ISIS ended up getting U.S.-made weapons, because all those weapons coming from Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, those were all stuff that we sold them and that the United Kingdom sold them. And then they gave them over to these groups that eventually turned into ISIS. And so they got all those weapons. And then the other thing, and this is where it really gets more relevant to what's going on right now, is a report just came out from Amnesty International. It just came out 2 days ago. And it was a very in-depth report, and they kind of went through and did a bunch of research on where all these weapons and stuff were coming from for ISIS, at least the stuff that they're getting right now. And they found out that the moderate Syrian rebels were either trading, selling, or defecting these weapons to ISIS. So a lot of them were part of these supposedly moderate Syrian rebel groups, and they changed their allegiance over to ISIS, and whole divisions of guys would switch over and they'd take all their equipment with them and all that training. The U.S. has been training guys over there since 2013 at the latest. They may have been doing it covertly even before that. Many people believe they did. And so a lot of these guys defected, and they changed allegiances, joined ISIS, brought equipment, training from the CIA with them. And so the Amnesty International report kind of unveiled a lot of that information. And they also said that decades of irresponsible arms transfers to Iraq and multiple failures by the U.S.-led occupation administration to manage arms deliveries and stocks securely, as well as an endemic corruption in Iraq itself. And so, yeah, the Iraqi government that the U.S. kind of installed into place is extremely corrupt. And so we were giving them all these weapons and arms and telling them, hey, secure your land and make sure it's safe, supposedly. And a lot of these weapons and stuff were just being flipped and sold to terror groups like ISIS. And, you know, this is just one of those things, man, where you start to realize, damn, this is a lot more complicated than what we're being told in the media. You know, it's like, how is ISIS kind of being armed either directly or indirectly by the United States, you know. And so this kind of gives you a flashback of the old tactic of, you know, backing both sides of a war, you know. And this goes back to the days of, like, Napoleon and even before that, where there was interests, banking interests and other financial interests that would say, hey, you know, they would finance both sides of it. And there's even rumors of the Nazis working in that fashion, that there was banking interests, in, especially in Switzerland, that were backing the Nazis and at the same time loaning money to the West. And then both sides have to pay you back, and it doesn't really matter who wins, you still win in the end, you know. And so right now what's going on with ISIS is they got a bunch of weapons that we made, and then we're bombing them with weapons that we also made, you know. And so who wins in the end here? Well, that's a pretty simple question. The military contractors. I mean, they made the weapons. The government bought all the weapons from them. They armed the Iraqi government ever since 2003 when we overthrew Saddam Hussein. We installed a new government. We armed them to the teeth. The taxpayer footed the bill, right? All those weapons end up getting captured by ISIS, and now we're bombing them with our weapons again, and guess who's paying the bill? The U.S. taxpayer. You know what I'm saying? So it's like us getting the short end of the stick. Go back to the story we opened it up with here about the shrinking middle class. This might be one of the reasons. It's because we're financing these wars where we're paying for both sides of the weapons, and the military contractors are just ripping us off from the top. And it kind of goes to show, because the upper class is getting rich as hell, and the middle class is just completely disappearing, because the middle class are the ones that are financing all this shit.
Yep. I mean, just read Freakonomics. I mean, it explains it all to the T. Everything comes down to a dollar. I mean, everything from GMO. Yeah, it does, man. Everything. Yeah.
Everything comes down to the dollar. I think that counter-economics is the most viable solution to solving any of this. You know, I just think solutions, after hearing all of this stuff, you know, counter-economics. I think that we have to do a lot more things as people in our everyday lives to foster a good society that no one ever teaches us about. You don't learn in school that you have to do things to your society to have it be even possibly good, especially being born into the bottom class. As we were, you know, we have to do things. We have to support independent business. We have to form strategies, activist groups, you know. Form activist groups, form things, form structures.
Great point. And we're joined now by Cassius. Cassius is a writer on the anti-media. He's also got a website called Arab Wisdom. What's up, Cassius?
I'm pretty good, man. I guess I was kind of ranty, but... yeah, man, counter-economics, you know, I feel passionate about it because, you know, from my perspective, being born in 1996, you know, there's just not any direction for my generation. I don't see any sense of direction at all. So,
all the work's been done, man, and I hate to say it for Generation M, because you guys are an inspiration, honestly. You've had access to the information of the internet, so you've had your minds kind of not as shaped by the propaganda of our public school disinformation system. But at the same time, you're right, man. What's there left to do? The greatest generation had the war. The boomers basically built out all our infrastructure and all our high tech. And now we're sitting here basically on the verge of robots. And I'm not even kidding you, robots taking any job that doesn't require actual thinking. They will do it all. And what are people supposed to do that can't afford a robot helper, can't afford an army of robots, can't afford technicians and engineers and scientists to keep that infrastructure going? I mean, you're talking about a breakaway civilization here within 10 years, and that's not off on the time frame. So what's going to happen to the rest of us?
Yeah, well, we have to build things. You know, that's the bottom line thing that I've derived from trying to research all this stuff. You know, we need to build things. And we've built something here. You built the anti-media. This is a prime example, you know?
Now we got to get to a point where somebody gets the balls to get a petition going for just one county in the U.S., preferably Colorado, Oregon, California, somewhere where herb is legal. Get one county to abolish property taxes so that we can get a template set up for a true agorist society that doesn't need a strong central government. We're not saying you have to come live there. The option needs to exist so that we're not completely stuck in this tyrannical cycle that continues over and over again.
Well, I just want to add like a little element here of urgency, you know, and because as you mentioned, DB, and I think you're spot on. I don't know if 10 years is the right time frame, but I think definitely within 20 years, we're on the verge. We're in the midst of a robotic revolution. You know, we've had the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, and now we're on the robotic / AI revolution where, you know, in the next 10 years, as you mentioned, I mean, you already go to the store. I mean, you go to Home Depot and there's an automated checkout. You know what I mean? They're replacing McDonald's workers with kiosks. And, you know, this is gonna be a phenomenon that's going to go across every single industry. In the current rate of things, yeah, there'll be a few, like, niche industries that are like, oh, no, we have real people, so come shop with us. But for the majority of things, you know, look at Walmart. People go to Walmart a lot, and Walmart's going to be completely automated. Amazon is already, for the most part, completely automated. They still have truck drivers. And they have a few warehouse workers, but dude, if you look at Amazon, most of their warehouse workers are robots at this point. And so we're heading not only in a direction of a robotic revolution, but now you throw Trump into the mix, and we're also heading towards fascism. We're looking at a technocratic fascism that's about to be saddled around our necks if something is not done relatively quickly. You know what I mean? We're on a short time frame here. Something we got a lot of work to do and a short amount of time to do it in.
We're at a precipice.
In person.
Yeah, I mean, I always like to tell people, dude, we're in a time frame where if you can't code, you ain't shit. Like that's what we're gonna. It's getting to that point, man. The technocracy is not just at the top. It's gonna spread to every facet of society. Is that a good thing? Well, it's probably better than the alternative, which is plowing the fields and living under some feudal lord. But we could have a better landing than the crash that's about to happen.
I think, honestly, the world boils down to force. So people who are gathering together in activist groups and physically trying to make their community the place they want it to be, there are some fundamental problems with the whole hierarchy that owns the land when you try to do something inside of a border. You know, there's complications like that, but you have to do something like that, gather together in person, hold events, you know, do things, you know.
Yep. I mean, an off-grid community of 100 people would be the template for me. Just get it going. Do what you want. No cops. No nothing. Just keep it all within the community. Yeah. Just do it. Petri dish. See how the experiment works. If it works well, then they'll spread. They'll keep going.
And just have the next community support the next one. And have an alliance of communities that have specific economic niches for the next one. And have a philosophy of not, you know, ever buying things from people that make our world worse, you know, teaching things the way that they should be taught in school so they feel they should be taught for their society, you know?
Yeah, man, great point, dude. I agree with you on all points here. Counter-economics is our way to solve this stuff and embracing technology and using it for better and not using it for the enslavement of people because that's what's going to be happening. You know, we already know that the top 100 people in the world own like the majority of the resources and the wealth and all that stuff. So when we talk about a robotic takeover of all the working, you know, all the manual labor and all the jobs, and it's going to make the labor unions are going to be completely irrelevant in the next 10, 15 years. If we allow the people that are ruling shit and owning the shit right now to continue this path where they own everything, well, that dude, we're all going to be screwed. You know what I'm saying? So we got to band together, make counter-economics, organize, and use technology, embrace it, but use it for good, right? Anyway, absolutely. That's the end of the show. We're coming up to our background music. Thank you all for tuning in. Catch us Monday through Friday. DB and me will be back on Monday. Same place, same time, UCY.TV, Anti-Media Radio. Peace out.
Let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.